Girlfriends, episode number 371. Are you ready for another baby? Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week, we are talking about the important question of, are you ready for another baby? Let's get started. Hey, girlfriend, thank you so much for being here. You know, I love connecting with you right here on the podcast each week. And this week is no exception. I just want to give you one last invitation, encouragement, reminder that over at Good Catholic, I'm going to be a part of a special event that's coming up on Saturday, May 20th. It's going to be a virtual retreat that we're creating just for you. It's just for women. It's a women's retreat that I'm doing together with Father Ed Looney, who is a Marian theologian, great speaker, author. I love hearing him share about Mary and especially Mary's heart. So the title of this retreat is A Heart Like Mary's. And in it, we're going to be looking at what we can learn from Mary's Immaculate Heart, how we can imitate Mary in virtue. And so if you haven't registered yet, I really want to encourage you to get over there to goodcatholic.com/retreat. You can get all of the information there. Again, it's happening Saturday, May 20th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. So 2 hours there. And if you can't be available during that time, do not let that stop you. Make sure you register anyway, because you're going to want access to the recording after the event. You can always watch it later. And there are lots of other goodies that you get. There's a downloadable journal. There's a playlist. There's a special coupon for the Catholic Company. Lots of cool stuff that you can get. So, you know, if you didn't get what you wanted for Mother's Day this year, here's your opportunity. Get what you really want. A little bit of time focused on growing to live and love like Mary. I cannot wait to connect with you there. So again, go over to goodcatholic.com/retreat for all of the information. Okay, but diving into this week's topic, we are talking about, are you ready for another baby? And, you know, you could be at any stage of life, and this could be kind of a relevant conversation and something that you might be thinking about. It's less relevant for me because, you know, my quote unquote baby is 16 years old. So kind of think I'm not, that's not in the cards for me right now, but it is for a lot of people. And I hear from people all the time who are really kind of struggling with the process of making these kinds of family planning decisions, but even more so, sometimes just adjusting to the fact that your family planning isn't going exactly the way that you planned, whether it's, you know, struggling with infertility, not becoming pregnant when you want to become pregnant, or the opposite end, becoming pregnant when you weren't planning to get pregnant and struggling to adjust with that. So that's where listener Catherine is. She wrote into me, and this is, it's kind of what gave me the kind of prompt to take on this topic. Catherine wrote, I would love to hear a podcast on embracing and being open to life in Catholic marriages and families. I'm at a place in life where I'm looking for some inspiration and encouragement in a new pregnancy. My husband and I have a 6-month-old and just found out we are pregnant again. Our 6-month-old was a rainbow baby, and we loved and cherished every minute of being pregnant with her. We were so excited to welcome her into our family. For anybody who doesn't know, side note, rainbow baby is a baby you have after experiencing a loss, a miscarriage, or a pregnancy loss. So she says, we have been open to life, but we weren't expecting to get pregnant again so soon. I feel guilty that I'm not feeling the same level of joy and excitement with this pregnancy that I did with our first daughter. I am clouded with anxiety about what our lives will look like with 2 babies just 1 year apart, breastfeeding 2 babies, what people will think, how soon the next baby after that will come, etc. I know there are a lot of Catholic women who must go through similar feelings, but I'm having a hard time finding them. What resources from our faith can a mom like me look to for encouragement and inspiration along this topic? Okay, so thank you, Catherine. And you know, this is happening more and more. I like to share a listener question at the end of the podcast, but sometimes I'll get a question that I think I could do a whole podcast about that. And for sure, this could probably be multiple podcasts, you know? So I've got a few different thoughts that I want to share with Catherine and anybody who finds themselves in that situation, which even though you're not finding the people, Catherine, They are out there. Trust me. They are out there. People really struggle with this. And it's, of course you struggle with it. It's a hard thing to adjust to the fact that something so life-changing can happen in your life, whether it's becoming pregnant or not becoming pregnant, and that you don't have control over it. And, you know, part of the problem is our culture really hammers home that idea that we ought to be in control, right? That we ought to be 100% in control of our fertility. And, you know, the same, you know, the way that they think we should be in control of everything in our lives, right? And of course, you know, using natural methods of family planning, those are licit and moral, and you can use them well to space pregnancies, plan pregnancies, postpone pregnancies, avoid pregnancies, all of that. But regardless of that, there are still going to be times in life where people find themselves pregnant when they weren't anticipating it, like Catherine is experiencing here. And I have found that all of those things you mentioned in your note to me, Catherine, are things that I can really relate to. You know, we had 8 kids in 12 years, and not every one of those was a precisely planned pregnancy, let me tell you. And in thinking about, like, oh, what will people think, you know, when you have babies close together? You know, as much as on the outside, someone might be tempted to say, you know, it's a beautiful gift, you know, this beautiful baby, and how dare anybody look down on you for it? But that's still part of what you think about, what you worry about. We worry about how we're going to look to other people, and all these feelings of guilt. So the first thing I want to say to anybody who's in this kind of situation, finding yourself pregnant when you weren't specifically planning on it and maybe struggling a bit, is it's okay to feel the way that you are feeling about it. Like, that's important. And, you know, these ways that you're saying that you have guilt about it, or, you know, you're comparing it to a pregnancy that you were super excited and happy about. Like, yes, that's okay. You know, it's okay that you feel differently about this. And it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a bad mother. It doesn't doom your child to a life of rejection, right? These are the kinds of dramatic thoughts that we sometimes have as when we're going through these, you know, very emotional situations sometimes. So it's okay. Like, recognize that first and foremost. However you're feeling about it is okay. Having a new baby is hard. Being pregnant is hard. Having 2 babies close together is hard. It's okay to be a little hesitant about that, to wonder what that's going to look like, to worry about that. It's okay that you're feeling that way. Years ago, I wrote an article for Faith and Family magazine, which is no longer publishing, but I loved working on that magazine for many years. But I wrote an article called Unexpectedly Expecting, I think something like that. And it was exactly about this topic. So I don't know if I still have it somewhere, but if I do, I'll send it to you, Catherine. But at the time, it was like a topic that was at the forefront of my mind because I was experiencing it myself, you know, being pregnant. I think at the time that I wrote it, I think I was expecting our 7th out of our 8 kids. And it took me a little bit to adjust to that pregnancy and feeling exhausted and, you know, wondering how am I possibly going to do this? And funny thing, so I wrote that article and I got tons of feedback from people. One of the people that I interviewed in it was a mom who had a baby at the age of 45 and was not expecting that at all. You know, it was like a bonus baby after, you know, her youngest was probably like 10 or 12 or something. I talked with other people who had other circumstances similar to what you're describing there, Catherine, where they had experienced loss and then hyperfertility of sorts and were struggling with that. And it's very normal to struggle with that. Anyway, back when that article published, I was a part of an online community of women, Catholic moms, who it was like a forum where we all, you know, discussed various things. And most people just had sort of like a username on there. People didn't know who people were. And there was one other mom in the group, and this is so funny to me, who like published a post in that forum saying she had just gotten her magazine and read that article. And she was furious. She was furious that this person, this Danielle Bean, had dared to write this article about unexpectedly expecting because, first of all, you should know about natural family planning and that it 100% works. And this is just giving a bad name to natural family planning. Second of all, that, you know, people complaining about being pregnant was just obnoxious to this woman. And It was a really interesting moment for me because I hadn't even considered that anybody might respond that way. And so I was like, okay, hello, my name's Danielle and I wrote that article. So it's an interesting conversation. And I don't actually remember where it ended up, but it was eye-opening for me because I wrote that, you know, sharing obviously my own personal perspective as well as sharing the personal perspectives of a number of other women. And I never anticipated that somebody would just have that kind of vitriol in response to it. But that just tells us, right? People feel strongly about these kinds of issues. And I'm going to say the most important thing that we can do as women for one another is to encourage and affirm each other in these difficult situations, to be there for each other, to not be looking to tear people down, to not be looking to judge other people's circumstances. You never know what's going on in their home, in their marriage, in their family. You never know what kinds of pregnancy losses they might have suffered, and that affects how they're feeling. You just don't know all of these things. And so I think it's so important to approach the way that we share about this and the way that we connect about this topic in with charity, with love, with generosity toward one another and a spirit of understanding. Because like, where does that feeling come from where you're like wondering, what are people going to think, right? And I remember once years ago, a mom that I knew who had many children, I don't even remember how many she had, but a large family and was pregnant again, that while she was at Mass, when she came out in the, you know, her van was parked in the parking lot and under the windshield wiper was a natural family planning pamphlet. Like, ew, that's obnoxious. And she told me at the time, I even wondered if it was my pastor who had put it there. And that's terrible to be feeling that way. And not that there's anything wrong with evangelizing about natural family planning, but there is something wrong with making somebody feel like they're doing something wrong if they're having a large family or children that are closely spaced, or, you know, are we a pro-life people or not? So all of this to say, you know, you're in a difficult situation. It's going to be challenging. So it's okay to feel the way that you're feeling. And I think we just don't need to add to our own burdens. And that doesn't mean you wallow in it. That doesn't mean you dive deep into depression and anxiety about it. But don't be beating yourself up. Don't be adding to your burdens by beating yourself up for feeling a very natural feeling, which is hesitation about this, which is concern about this, which is wondering how it's all going to exactly work out and how difficult it's going to be. So perfectly okay to feel the way that you're feeling. So know that first and foremost. And second, of course, I need to encourage you to just bring this to prayer. When you are struggling with this, this new little baby is a gift from God. This is a gift that He wants you to have. You know, I can look back on pregnancies we had in various ways that I've felt about them. And now, like, I can look at the people, like my children or my young adult children that are in my life now because God had this perfect plan that was not my plan. What a gift. So it's hard, I know, in the moment to have that perspective, but bring it to prayer. Bring the way that you're feeling to prayer and, you know, ask God to help you to embrace it. Ask Him to help to relieve your anxiety about it. Ask for that peace and that comfort that He wants you to have. A really helpful prayer, of course. I've got to promote my favorite, the surrender novena, the surrender prayer. You know, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. There you go. Just repeat until you can mean it. Or, you know, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in you. Just have a go-to prayer like that. And, you know, and be bringing it to God in prayer, turning it over to Him. Surrender this pregnancy to Him. Surrender yourself to Him. Surrender your fertility to Him. Because a large part of what we might struggle with sometimes are kind of these notions that we kind of pick up through osmosis in our culture, right? Without even meaning to, just because we're steeped in it, this idea that we should be in perfect control of our fertility at all times. Well, that's actually not how God designed us. And that's not how life ends up working out for the most part. So, you know, understanding that and seeing this as an invitation to grow in trust. Anytime something unexpected happens in our lives, it's exactly that kind of invitation. And this one so very much affects you personally, right? This is such a personal thing for women that I think that women really struggle with the idea of letting go of control of our fertility. And that doesn't mean like, don't pay attention to your fertility signs and throw it out all out the window and let God plan your family, though some people do that and it's a beautiful thing. But that's something you need to discern in your own marriage, exactly how you're going to approach those things. But that, you know, the idea, this cultural idea that we ought to be in perfect control of it. Have a baby immediately when you want to have a baby. Don't have a baby. Absolutely not when you don't want to have a baby, right? Like just push a button. And, you know, I look back over our married life and I think, gosh, if we only ever had a baby when I very deliberately pushed the have a baby now button, you know, what a sad thing that would be. And what a small family we'd actually be. And God had a much richer life planned for us than we were planning for ourselves, than we ever would have planned for ourselves. So really important to keep that in mind and be trusting in the goodness of God, be trusting in the generosity of God, be trusting in God's providence, because, you know, it's very normal, I think, to begin to wonder, like, you know, about finances maybe, or about your own energy levels. Like, how are you going to do this? And so I think once you've come to terms with the fact that this is happening, right? As Catherine is in this position right now, bringing it to prayer in a regular way, maybe praying a particular novena, maybe, you know, a particular devotion that you want to bring it to prayer with. St. Anne, Jesus's grandmother, Jesus's grandmother, Mary's mother is a beautiful person to come to and a patron saint in pregnancy and childbirth. Also, how about Mary? Okay. Do you pray to Mary about this particular circumstance that you're struggling with? Because Mary, if you think about it, she never expected to be pregnant. That was not in her plans. That was not part of what she planned. She planned to be a virgin. She planned to not ever have children. And yet, whoop, here we go. God threw her this wrench in the works, right? And what a amazing gift and blessing this was, right? To become the mother of God. And so I think when we're struggling to accept a new pregnancy or struggling in, you know, accepting our circumstances of fertility in any way, Mary is such a beautiful model for us because she had her own plan and it was a good plan. It was a beautiful plan. It was a generous plan, but God had a different and much bigger plan, so much larger than she ever could have imagined for herself. And the same is true for you. He has a bigger plan for you than you are imagining. Regardless of whatever circumstances you're finding yourself in right now, God's plan for your family is bigger and better than your plan, than even yours together with your husband, even though it looks great, right? So learning to trust that, and that doesn't happen overnight. And I'm saying bring it to prayer knowing full well that, you know, as we make a habit of prayer, it's about growing in relationship with God. And ultimately, that's going to be one of the most beautiful fruits that can come from this, is growing deeper in your relationship with God, growing to trust God, learning to turn to Him in everything and turn over to Him every part of your life, even those that we're really hesitant to or really worried about. All right. The third thing I want to mention that you might want to consider is to think about, what are your pain points right now? Or are you anticipating your pains are going to be, what is going to be really difficult for you because of this pregnancy? And can that be addressed? So for me, I remember when I was very first ever took a positive pregnancy test with my son, Rafe, who is our seventh, I immediately was worried. And it wasn't about the pregnancy so much as it was about the fact that I was about to become completely debilitated, like for at least the first 3 months of every pregnancy, just sick, so sick, and, you know, lying on the couch and vomiting and, you know, all of it. And you may or may not have those kinds of pregnancy symptoms, but I knew from previous experience, like, okay, I just took this positive pregnancy test. I've got like 2 weeks before it really hits me in the face and I'm going to be just useless. And so I, at that point, was like, okay, survival mode, got to figure out how I'm going to get through, you know, at least these next 3 months. And my response at the time was, you know, I had older kids, I had a bunch of kids, and it was to cut corners on things that I could, whether that was with homeschooling, and that might be you. You might be homeschooling, and maybe either you can, with a new pregnancy, you might need to consider farming out some of that. Or I know some people who, when their family has grown, they have decided not to continue with homeschooling. Even making decisions like that can be part of what God's plan is for you in response to a new pregnancy. So think about what are the things that are depleting you, that are exhausting you, that are worrying you? Is it getting meals on the table? Anyway, back when I found myself in that situation and was kind of considering, like, how do I put a plan into place? One of the things that I did was I made a chore chart for the family, and every single kid had chores on it. Even, you know, my daughter, who was like not even 2 years old. But they were all like tied to different points in the day, and we were homeschooling and everybody was home all day. And so it was like before breakfast chores, like when you first get up in the morning chores, like making your bed and getting dressed. Other chores, like I kind of centered around meals, like pre-lunch would be like clean up school stuff and, you know, having a kid in charge of prepping lunch, then having a kid in charge of cleaning up lunch, those kinds of things. I had points in the day where everybody had something, and it wasn't huge, but it took quite a bit of effort to put together these chore charts, but it was written down and everybody had something they were supposed to be doing. And just having that chart really gave me some peace of mind, because I figured basic things are going to be getting done, right? And so doing something like that, putting a plan in place for that, or hiring outside help, if that's a possibility for you, might be something that you do. Are you worried that you're not going to be able to keep up with, you know, a carpool that you do? Well, maybe making alternate arrangements for that. Are you worried about finances? How can you address that? You know, consider what it is that's worrying you, because sometimes the biggest problem with worrying is that we just go in circles with it, and it's just a feeling, and we just kind of cycle around and around, and we think about random things, like with regard to, like, say you're worrying about this new pregnancy, you might think about, is your husband's salary going to be enough? Are you going to need to work? Are you going to be able to keep up with your daily chores? Is the laundry going to become overwhelming? How are you going to possibly care for X number of kids? You know, all of those things that keep us awake in the middle of the night. And those are kind of like random thoughts that are just like here and there and everywhere, and they cause worry and anxiety and, you know, spike your cortisol levels for sure. But that's not helpful, right? What's helpful is kind of saying, why am I worried about that? Is that a reasonable thing to be worried about? And then can we address it in some way? Is there a way I can address this thing that is concerning me in a way that's going to bring me greater peace about this new circumstance? So going through and doing that, and it might be helpful to sit down with somebody like your husband who can kind of walk through each of these with you and be a voice of reason. Men are very good at that. They're very good at speaking clarity into our sometimes all over the place thoughts. At least I know that's the way my marriage works a lot of the time. So find a way to do that. Like, think about specifically, don't just allow yourself to randomly worry. Think about specifically, you know, what are these pain points I have? And can you reach out to your network? Do you live near a helpful sister-in-law? Or do you have a group of friends that you could count on for help with certain things? Or are there things you can just cross off your list and say, you know what? God gave us a baby right now, and so I'm not going to be able to do that extra thing, or we're not going to be able to participate in that particular activity or something like that. Find a way to address them in a practical way. And I think that's going to give you a lot of peace of mind. All right, the fourth point that I want to make to Catherine and to anybody who is in that place of struggle with new pregnancy and wondering how it's all going to work out is to know that this is hard, but you can do hard things. Like, look back over your life. I know I can do this, like going all the way back to, like, you know, grade school, and think about the challenges that you've faced and things that you've accomplished that previously felt impossible. Maybe even getting married and having one baby, you know, is on that list. And just know that you were made for this. God made you for this. And, you know, if you look at the way that, you know, a woman's body becomes pregnant and the way that we nurture new life, I love thinking about the fact that we are physically receptive to new life and physically nurturing of new life. Like, think about it. When you become pregnant, before you even take that positive pregnancy test or even think about taking a pregnancy test, your body already knows you're pregnant. and is already diverting, you know, nutrition, oxygen, resources to nurture this new little life. What a beautiful physical manifestation that is of what we do as women, where we pour ourselves out, we give from our very selves to love others, care for others, nurture others with life-giving love. It's a beautiful gift that we have as women. It's unique to us. It's a uniquely feminine capacity we have to be receptive to others like that. And a pregnancy is a beautiful physical manifestation of that. But whether or not a woman ever physically becomes pregnant, you know, her body is that physical manifestation of this spiritual truth about women, that we are receptive to others. We're built to be receptive to others, and we are open to life, and we give of ourselves, and sometimes in ways that cost us, sometimes in ways that are difficult and challenging. And that's what we're, you know, you're experiencing right now. But that we have this unique capacity for giving of ourselves in ways that are life-giving to others, in ways that give hope to others, provide comfort to others, nurture others, help others to flourish, grow, and become the people that God wants them to be. What a beautiful gift that is. So know that it's hard. And God knows that it's hard. You know, in the Garden of Eden, he told Eve, you will bring forth children in great pain, quite literally with labor pains, right? But in everything associated with our fertility, whether it's the pain of not becoming pregnant when you desperately want to become pregnant, or it's the pain of struggling to adjust to a new pregnancy when you just had a baby, or it's the pain of, you know, raising teenagers, that these things God knows about. He knows that we uniquely suffer because of this life-giving capacity that we have. And he sees us in that, but we're made for it. And, you know, the bonus is, we find true meaning in fully becoming the people that God made us to be. And for every woman, that means in some way, shape, or form, being a mother. And for every mother, that means in some way, shape, or form, something that's going to be sacrificial. So recognize that. It's okay that it's hard. It's okay that it feels hard. It's okay that you're struggling to accept it. And in the end, I'm going to just say, and Catherine and others in her situation are in no position to hear this in the proper way. Like, it's like you bump into an old lady at the grocery store. I so vividly remember this, with a cart full of children, and I'm struggling to get through the day, you know? And she tells me, oh, it all goes by so fast. And it's like, no, it's not. You are a liar. It is not going by fast at all. And every day felt like a great big long eternity that I was struggling to get through. So I totally understand if you are there. But now I can see that she wasn't a liar. There's truth to what that old lady in the grocery store was saying to me. And yet it's something that we all have to kind of experience for ourselves. The truth of the fact that, like, the days can be long, but the years are short. And I think that's just a beautiful way of kind of summing up, I mean, most people's experience of family life. Like, it really is a minute in the end, you know? I vividly remember years ago just lying awake in the middle of the night and kind of calculating, like, holy cow, like, at this rate, we're going to have like 27 children. Seriously, being like, what is your plan, God? Like, this feels crazy. So I totally get it. But I can look back now and I have such a broader perspective on it, but it's not one that I can snap my fingers and share with you. It's one that you kind of have to grow into yourself. But I'm going to tell you in the hopes that this much can give you a little bit of peace about it, that it's true. There truly is a broader perspective, and that you are going to grow into seeing it for yourself in the way that God has planned for you in your family. One related thing that came up when I spoke at a conference in Windsor, Colorado. Shout out to the ladies of the Women's Day of Faith there. It was a wonderful, beautiful, faith-filled day where I was overjoyed to be able to spend time with the beautiful women there and sharing my You Are Enough retreat. But one of the ladies who came up to me afterwards was a woman, I can't remember how many children she had, but she just said to me, how can you know when you're done? Like, how do you know when you should maybe start using NFP to permanently avoid becoming pregnant again? And I appreciate her question, but of course I cannot answer that for her. So hard, right? But the fact that she's asking, and she's not the only one who's asked me similar things, and maybe that's a whole other podcast, but I think ultimately it goes back to what I was talking about at the start, that this is a hard thing to turn over to God, right? It's a hard thing to trust God with. But ultimately it's something that we, every one of us, we're called to turn over our entire lives to God. So of course that means our families. Of course that means the minute details of our family planning. And of course it means turning over to him our bodies, like when we might become pregnant. But what that looks like for each person is going to be unique, and you need to be bringing it to prayer and talking with your husband about it. There are so many factors to take into consideration, and there are many legitimate factors to take into consideration, including the children you already have and their needs and financial issues and all of these things. But whenever somebody is kind of on the fence about it, I have always just told them, if you're on the fence about whether or not to have another baby, like, you know, have the other baby. You know, you're not going to regret it, you know? And of course, I can't predict the future perfectly, but I think about, you know, the number of women that I know who have told me in their later years, like, I wish I'd had more children. And I don't think anybody has ever said to me in their later years, like, I wish I hadn't had as many children, right? So anyway, that's just if someone's on the fence. But if you have legitimate factors, and everybody has their own unique circumstances and kind of like weighing many different things, which is very personal and very much between you and your husband and God. So figuring that out. But in the end, I just want to encourage people to know that this is a tough thing for so many women. This is a tough topic for many women. And it's one, I think, where there's a lot of room for us to grow in conversation about it. I hope my taking it up here on the podcast has been helpful. But I know that I don't have the complete perspective on it, for sure. So I would love to hear from you if you have perspectives, thoughts to share on this topic of kind of the broad topic of you know, and trusting God when it comes to factors of our fertility, whether it's, you know, planning out when you're going to have your next baby or planning to avoid having another baby or adjusting to a pregnancy that you weren't specifically planning. That's very difficult. But there's a lot of room for us to grow in conversation about that. So I would love to hear from anybody who has their own unique perspective to share on this kind of experience. Or if there's something you think I completely dropped the ball on, open to hearing it. I would love to hear from you. And in the meantime, let's pray for Catherine, and let's pray for anybody who is struggling to adjust to a new pregnancy or an unexpected circumstance with regard to their fertility and their life. So we'll be keeping that in prayer in the coming week. All right, coming up, we've got some more of the show for you, but first, a quick break. I'm Danielle Bean, and you're listening to the Girlfriends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Sonia Corbett, the Bible study evangelista. When I became Catholic, I had a really hard time understanding the role Mary was supposed to play in my life. So I went to her and I told her, I just don't get it. I need your help. And guess what? Mary did just that. She showed me a way to pray that has revolutionized my entire life. Mary has been called the mother of listening. She didn't just hear the word. She knew how to hear it in light of her own relationships, circumstances, and habits. And then she let the word transform her. I realized that I had to share what I was learning about Mary's way of praying with others. So I wrote How to Pray Like Mary, a step-by-step guide to discovering God's voice in the scriptures and letting him transform your heart. I invite you to learn more about How to Pray Like Mary at ascensionpress.com or on Amazon.
Welcome back. Now we're at the point in the show where I like to share some listener feedback. And this week I got some of my own love language, which is Voxer. So Sally left me a voice message, and here's what she had to say.
Hi, Danielle. I hope you're doing well. This is Sally. I just wanted to send you a message to thank you for your podcast on creativity. A couple things I wanted to share are that for Easter, as a family, we decided to go to the beach. We live in Texas, so our weather is a little more accessible to have a beach trip at that time. Anyway, so we went to Mass on Sunday, and then we pretty much got on the road. It's about a 4-hour trip. So we weren't able to like get together an Easter dinner for Sunday, Easter Sunday. anyway, so then the following week after, we were only gone like 4 days. So when once we got back, we decided the following Sunday on the octave to have our Easter dinner. And it was beautiful. It was simple, but you know, we got together again, had the regular fixings and all that. And it was just nice to spend a relaxing day together over a meal. And again, the whole family was there. So it was really beautiful. Just a creative idea of thinking out of the box, you know, as the kids get older, it gets more and more, challenging to just get everyone together. No, none of our kids are married yet, so I know it'll only become more complicated if they do. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. Another thing I wanted to share is like what I do for creativity. I am an actress, and after having kids, I sort of gave it up. But once they started, you know, once I was out of the baby and toddler stage, I started to get back into it a little bit. So I act when I have time, and it's not a career. I'm not like pursuing fame or fortune or any of that. I just really, I just enjoy acting, and I enjoy the creativity that it involves. And one other thing, I don't know if you're allowed to promote other things on your podcast that you aren't getting paid to promote or however that works. I just wanted to let you know about a YouTuber who I work out with almost daily. Her name's Heather Robertson. And this woman, talk about creativity. She has, I don't even know, probably hundreds of workouts on her YouTube account. She has her website is heatherrobertson.com, but she has workouts for everybody and for like all varieties, all types, all lengths, all difficulties. She's thought it all out, and it never gets boring. And she kept me sane during the quarantine. And I just stuck with her, and I just love her to death. I have never met her. I have nothing to gain from telling you this other than that what a change she brought to my life. And I just want to share that with the world. Anyway, that's all. Hope you're having a great day. Thank you for all you do. God bless.
Thank you so much for that, Sally. I really appreciate your perspective on extending your Easter celebration and, you know, kind of being open to the fun things that you can do now that you're in a different stage of family life. You mentioned having older kids, and you're able to, you know, go to the beach. That's a fun Easter activity. And then have your Easter dinner a week later. Fantastic. Celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday. So I like the encouragement to just kind of be chill about it. I think sometimes when it comes to celebrating feast days or holidays as a family, I know at least I tend to do this, and I tended to do it a lot more when the kids were little. Like things had to be a certain way and they had to be on a certain day. And gosh, I caused myself a lot of stress and anxiety without really needing to. So being open and flexible about that, I think, is a great way to just enjoy the Easter season together as a family. And then thank you for the fitness link. I will put that link in the show notes for anybody who wants to check that out. When somebody's that enthusiastic about something, I think it's really a worthwhile thing to check out. So I'm going to be checking it out myself. I'm looking forward to doing new and different kinds of workouts these days because having recovering from my knee surgery, I'm moving about quite a bit more than I was, and I'm not quite able to do a lot of different workouts, but in a quick look over there, it looks like she has a number of different things for people of all different levels and abilities. So thank you for that. There's nothing like a, you know, positive word of mouth for a resource that, you know, somebody actually uses and loves. I have found this, yeah, definitely with regard to fitness products, but also with recipes. Like there's so many recipes out there that get shared online and even published in magazines that I'm like, who would ever even make this? Or I try to make it and I'm like, this is a dud of a recipe. You know, like I want the recipes that people are actually making, actually using. They're actually part of, you know, the ways that they're feeding their family and useful in a very practical way. So I feel the same way about sharing fitness resources as well. I want to hear from somebody that they actually love it and enjoy it. So thank you so much for that, Sally. And thank you for Voxing. So anybody who's interested in sending me a voice message, of course, you can just record it on your phone and send it to me. You can email me, danielle@daniellebean.com. But if you want to do it through Voxer, you can connect through the link that's always in the show notes over at ascensionpress.com. There's a link to connect to my Voxer account through there, and a super easy way for us to kind of have voice messaging back and forth that way. All right, that's all the time we have for today, but I want to thank you for being here. I am so grateful for you showing up. I'm grateful for you taking me along for the ride when you're actually along for a ride, whether you're out on your bike or you're driving your car, doing carpool or folding the laundry. Thanks so much for having me along and bringing me into your life. It's a privilege, and I do not take that for granted. So thank you for that. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your day and God bless your week. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.